Evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Mindfulness is a hot topic these days. After all, the idea of stopping the noise and chaos that bombard us each day is very appealing. But what's the secret for turning fear, upset, and doubt into joy, love, and clarity? Our guest today offers wisdom about tapping into our innate human capacity for meaning, presence, and wisdom to experience the boundless happiness and peace that exists for you, not tomorrow, but right now, in this very next moment. Our guest is going to be known to many of you. It's Donald Altman, often the host of the Pathways Show, as my partner. And he's the author of the new book, Simply Mindful Reflections, 101 Daily Reflections for Joy, Hope, and Healing. Now, in addition to his volunteer work for KBOO, along with myself, Donald is also a psychotherapist, a former Buddhist monk, an international mindfulness expert, and award-winning author of over 20 books, which have been translated worldwide. Featured as an expert in the mindfulness movie and profiled in the Living Spiritual Teachers Project, he currently writes Practical Mindfulness Blog for Psychology Today. His best-selling The Mindfulness Toolbox won 2 National Publishing Ben Franklin IPBA Awards. His books, Clearing Emotional Clutter and The Mindfulness Code, were both selected as one of the best spiritual books of the year by Spirituality and Practice. His spiritual adventure novel, Travelers, was honored as a recipient of the Next Generation Indie Book Awards. Donald has been an adjunct professor at both Portland State University and the Lewis and Clark Graduate School of Education and Counseling. As the past vice president of the Center for Mindful Eating, he pioneered the field of mindful eating. And as a workshop trainer, he has taught mindfulness to over 15,000 healthcare and business professionals.
Wow. What a guest. Hello, Donald, and welcome to the Pathways Show.
Hey, Paul, it's great to be here. And thank you. I remember when we met, when I first was on a book tour for a book called Art of the Inner Meal, and I was on Pathways, and I later moved up to Portland. We became friends, and I feel very fortunate to have known you and your graciousness in inviting me to be a host on the show now.
What a great pathway. So you were introduced to Pathways as a guest long ago, and now you volunteer for KBOO, and you're my fellow host on the program itself. And I love the way that you do your shows. It's different than the way I do. Everything's different, but it's fascinating, and you have great conversations. So I just want to thank you for your service to KBOO, the community, and helping me out. I really appreciate it. I mean, I was the host with Tom Park for 25 years, and then I was the solo host for 10 years, and I couldn't handle it. It was like twice the workload. I didn't have the time for it. And luckily, you moved to Portland, and you were interested in helping out, and here we are. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's been
so
great.
Thank you
and
for
great
all
fun
of that.
Too for me. So I hope our audience, and I feel connected to our audience. I haven't met any of them that I know personally, but I'm sure I know you're out there, and it means a lot to me that you listen in.
I went to a Buddhist meeting about a month ago, and it was a meeting where people in the audience could share, et cetera. And so I did a little share, and after the meeting was over, this guy comes up to me and he goes, are you on the radio? And I go, well, yeah, I volunteer for KBOO as a host of Pathway. He goes, I listened to you. I recognized your voice. I go, wow, it's fantastic. So he was a subscriber, which is a reminder to all of our listeners, you can subscribe to this. But anyway, let's talk about your new book, Simply Mindful Reflections. And tell us, how did you decide to produce this book? It has a context that I'd like you to share with us.
Well, it's the fifth book in what I call the Mindful, Simply Mindful book series. And the Simply Mindful book series has the initial, it's called Simply Mindful. It's a 7-week course and personal handbook for mindful living for somebody that really wants to steep themselves into a mindfulness practice, to learn both the more traditional mindfulness, as I learned in the monastery, and see how it blends with modern mindfulness and how it's used today in so many different forms and shapes. So that book really gives you a wide understanding, but takes you into your own practice. And then there's Simply Mindful Coloring Book, which has, you know, a lot of people love those coloring books. And there was an artist, Paul Mendoza, who I had known, who did a lot of the illustrations in the book. They're beautiful. And each illustration is matched with a coping skill. And that's what makes this book unique. And in fact, it's being used in some treatment centers. Yeah, it's being used in treatment centers around the Portland area. And then there's Simply Mindful Resilience, which I think we need today probably more than ever. And we're, you know, there's so much adversity we have to face in our lives and throughout our lifespan. And so having 101 tools for resilience, and they're all one page long, so you can just look at them and they're really helpful. And then there's the Simply Mindful Meal by Meal. You know, I worked in an eating disorder clinic for some years. I had written Art of the Inner Meal that I was on your program with. So this book, our Simply Mindful Meal by Meal, has a number of different daily practices for how you enter your meal, how you experience the meal, how you could eat mindfully, you know, how you could be aware of what emotions you're bringing into the meal. How do you even depart your meal? So it's all really important, all aspects of mindful eating.
Very relevant, very relevant to this holiday.
Yeah, this was, we just had Thanksgiving yesterday before we recorded this, and we were talking about how you could gobble till you wobble.
And, right.
I probably lost a little mindfulness yesterday. But,
but I suppose you could be mindful of your wobble. Well, anyway.
You can. You can be mindful of the wobble, and that's a beautiful thing about mindfulness. We recognize that, you know, I'm perfect as I am, and I can use a little bit of improvement, right?
So right.
It's okay. We don't beat up on ourselves with mindfulness. And then I did the Simply Mindful Reflections, which is the new book,
right?
I have, and that's the book about, you know, I think it's interesting because I found that our, you know, with social media and the internet, our gaze is always going outward, and we're having less time for inner reflection. Less time for really getting to know ourselves, getting to know our own inner wisdom, getting to tap in to the deeper parts of even our shadow life and, you know, what are we avoiding in life. And I think it could be very helpful if you want to have peace in the outside world is to develop this awareness of our inner life and our inner being. And so that's what this book is about. It's 101 daily reflections for healing peace and finding balance in your life and in the world.
Are you supposed to do them in order, like 1 through 101?
You know, there are different categories, but I like the random approach where you just open it up and, you know, what does the universe have to do, tell me today? What could I look at today? And I still enjoy looking at really these books or any book that way. It's kind of opening it up and seeing how it's relevant.
Right, right. Okay.
So,
there's a word for that. They call that stichomancy. STICH. Stichomancy is opening a book for a divinatory purpose.
Oh, okay. That's new for me. I didn't know that. It's cool. I like that.
So why 101? Why not 365? It's too much work.
I don't have a thick book that way. It's too heavy. You know, I want to keep it light. Okay. I find 101 is a nice, you know, it's almost like 108 beads in the mala, so we're getting close, we're almost there.
And it has a kind of mystical, yeah.
Yeah,
it has in a way, and so then you say, this is subtitled, 101 Daily Reflections for Joy, Hope, and Healing. So how did you choose those three words?
Well, I think that, you know, that really does reflect, to use the reflection word again, that does kind of really mirror what the book is about. And it's about how can we find that inner joy and find hope and healing. And I think it's really, you know, we really need those things nowadays. And I think healing is such an important word, because we've all experienced trauma. Who hasn't experienced trauma on this planet? And the idea is that we can grow from it. We can learn from it. And so that is one of the areas that I like to look at. In fact, if I could just share the eight categories here. So there's simplicity and peace. So the eight categories in the book.
Right.
Simplicity, peace, nature, healing and connection, love, laughter, joy, hope, and calm, transformation, and wisdom. So it covers a wide range of human experiences. But again, you can just pretty much open it up anywhere and learn something, I hope. Because there with each one of these reflections, there's three follow-up questions. And this is also what makes this book different from a typical reflection book, is it guides you to go more deeply. And also, some of those follow-ups are actually like an action plan. So it gives you something to do to put that idea into action today, so you can start to understand it from a real-life basis.
Okay. Well, why don't you pick out, or do you have a favorite reading from the Reflections book that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, I have a, here's one. I think this is from the laughter section. And the title is Life is Full of Banana Peels. Suffering after a slip is optional. Each situation or burden has the potential to enlighten you with laughter. Why insist on crying each time you slip on the banana peel of life? Won't laughter do the job just as easily? Your attitude in the face of burdens, of pain, loss, or disappointment is something you control. Besides, another damn banana peel is just waiting around the corner. Reflect on this. There's always going to be another. There's always going to be another banana peel, and we don't know when. Now let me share the three questions here that I have at the end here. How often have you laughed today? What would change if you could laugh at your banana peels, at something that you slipped on? Second one is, how can you start to lighten up? And the third one, what banana peel do you face today that you could take less seriously? So think about, really, even what we think of as challenges could be banana peel, right?
Right.
And it's not meant to break us, but it's meant to help us. So maybe we don't have to slip next time as much on the next banana peel.
You know, this is kind of a Buddhist orientation, at least it seems to me, because it's saying, okay, it's going to happen, but you don't have to suffer. It's basically up to you how you respond, how you react to that. I like that, you know, because I meet a lot of people, and particularly here in Maui, where I live in the winter, there's so much magical thinking in the air. You know, people just want to believe what they want to believe. And one of the magical thoughts that I come across fairly frequently is, you know, you got to be happy all the time, you know, and if you're feeling out of sorts or out of balance, you know, you got to do something about that immediately, course correct. Don't let yourself feel it for very long. You know, this is sort of related to the law of attraction and other things that might be called spiritual bypassing. But, you know, what you said just makes sense. You know, there's going to be banana peels, and there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be stuff's going to happen. And, you know, it's just unreasonable to expect inconvenience not to happen. You know,
well, so I mean, I think that's kind of the key of the mindfulness, really the Buddhist thought. You're right. That is very much infused in this work, is that we can't escape things, right? And mindfulness is, in that sense, confrontational. It you know, it's like when you throw something, you know, it sticks on the wall. That's mindfulness. If you have a thought, if you have an action, it's just you have to face it, not run around it. You know, it's funny. As a psychotherapist, I had people who would come to my office who were using meditation as kind of an escape, and right. using it as a way not to face the challenges and difficulties in their life. And I think it's important that we think about whether or not, you know, how we're trying to avoid those banana peels, or how we're trying to avoid the challenging things that are facing us, or the challenging parts of ourselves, right? Our own anger, our greed, our lust, whatever it may be.
And, I think,
and start to look at that.
I think all too often, one of the factors in that kind of avoidance or negligence or denial is idea that it's like trauma. You know, we're not willing to own our own trauma all too often. Too many people, you know, it's like almost a source of shame to think, you know, to reflect on your own traumatization. But like you say, everybody's had to deal with some measure of that. And I think if people could just accept that, then they wouldn't be so headstrong in terms of like avoiding all kinds of feelings and trying to escape discomfort in order not to.
Yeah, yeah, it goes to another thing too. What I'm hearing you say too is it goes to my identity, my view of myself. You know, I'm this kind of person. When you talk about magical thinking, it makes me think of that too. That I want to, you know, picture myself as being this wealthy person or having this, or having that. And, you know, it's really when you're doing that, you're denying the truth of who you are.
Right.
Right. And I think that it's interesting. We need an identity. You know, you're Paulo, I'm Donald, Donaldo, as you call me. And, and at the same time, we need to, be free and encumbered of personality or that identity, the I, the me, the my, the mine, that is keeping us stuck, right?
So there's that's the ultimate,
you know,
that's the ultimate addiction, the addiction to having a solid, permanent identity that's immortal. That's one of the things, another one of the things I love about Buddhism is just kind of like bust right through that and say, hey, everything's impermanent. And, you know, there is no solid, immortal self that's never going to change. You know, this is just such a fantasy.
The impermanence, the beautiful thing about it, people can, you know, freak out and say, oh my God, I'm impermanent. You mean I'm not going to continue living or whatever. Everything transforms, though. Everything changes into something else. And the thing about impermanence, too, is that it makes everything that much more precious. That beautiful little flower isn't always going to be there, but I could appreciate it and really love it and savor it for the moment that I'm holding it in my hand.
I just have a question I've been saving for you, as I'm very curious. What would you say is the relationship between mindfulness and self-discipline? I mean, you're a prodigious writer, and I wonder if you would share with us what kind of self-discipline you impose on yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean, as a writer, you really do have to be disciplined. And I think that's very true of mindfulness, too, is that I think of any spiritual path, if you're going to undertake a spiritual path, if you want to excel at anything, really, you have to engage your discipline. You need to show up, and you need to show up day after day after day and, you know, really follow whatever it is you're doing with a deep passion. And if you do that, I really think it will take you in the direction you want to go. So it's where you're focusing yourself, right? You know, and self-discipline, you can't be mindful, really, if you're not disciplined and devoted to doing it. you might have moments of, oh yeah, I was in the present moment, but then you really miss on a lot of what mindfulness teaches. And it's a very deep practice. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. It's become kind of like yoga. It's kind of something that you do to, I did my mindfulness and I'm a little calmer today, or I'm less stressed. But the capability of it is far beyond that.
Yeah, it's an aspect of meditation for sure. I was thinking, when I was asking about self-discipline, I was thinking that discipline is kind of a form of mindfulness. I mean, you have to pay attention in order to discipline yourself to do something.
Discipline and effort and energy, all those things are required.
So do you sit down to write every day? Do you map out a certain time segment?
Yeah, pretty much I do, especially if I'm working on a project. I've been doing some novels, and I found that the process is a little different. If I'm doing a nonfiction book, if I'm doing something like the Simply Mindful Reflections book, I'll sit down every day and I'll work on a certain number of those reflections, and I'll keep rewriting and improving the ones I've already written. And I'll do that daily for several hours. It's a wonderful process for me. I really enjoy doing it. But I found that with writing the novels, and I wrote Travelers, a spiritual adventure novel, and I'm working on a new book, is I found that there's a little different process, because I'll work for a while, but then because I want the book to be organic, I don't plan it all out in advance like I do my nonfiction books. So there's space for creativity, for waiting for sparks to fly, and just allowing myself to back off when I'm kind of stuck on something. And it's allowing myself to be with that process. But that's another form of discipline, even the waiting, because it's kind of going on in the background of my mind, or I might have a dream that informs me about the story or whatever, about the character, mm-hmm. story. But it's a little different process.
Well, we've got just a little bit of time left, and I want to point out, you say that gratitude is a mindfulness practice. How is that so?
Well, very much so. Gratitude is very much about how you use your selective attention. And selective attention, deciding you're going to focus on something, is how the brain wires up, actually. So if I'm looking at what I'm grateful for, I'm deciding to look at that instead of, the things that are a hassle in life or the things that I'm unhappy about. I mean, life gives you a full menu. You get all of it, right? But too often we get focused on or stuck on just looking at the negative things. And so this helps us balance out. And as a practice I have, it's called the GLAD practice, GLAD. And I can really quick go through this, but G is, every day you can do the GLAD practice. Think about one thing you're grateful for. That's what the G stands for. The L in this acronym stands for learning. What one thing have I learned today? Maybe I learned something about myself, or maybe I learned something about someone else, right? Like talking about you today, talking with you today. I learned something about you. And the A is for accomplishment. One thing that I have accomplished today. And sometimes we think about accomplishment, that big thing that I want to accomplish in life. But what about all the little daily things? I think even getting dressed in the morning is highly underrated. I see you did a nice job today, Paul, with that green shirt. So we need to give ourselves a pat on the back for all the things we do, eating our meals, getting our sleep, right? Putting on that green shirt.
And then changing a light bulb.
And the D is delight. What one thing brought us a sense of delight today? And that's the affective emotional part of this. So I remember one client I had, he said, I asked him, and he's struggling with depression. He said, I heard a bird chirp outside. And he said, and that reminded me of springtime. It gave me hope. So we need to find things that are pleasant and joyful for us.
Right. Yeah. Wow. And that's a practice. And I appreciate you writing these books, teaching us how to do these practices. And there's so much more we could explore, but we've basically run out of time. But I want to be sure to tell our listeners about your website, mindfulpractices.com. Mindfulpractices, all one word, .com. And for those who may be listening to Pathways Live on a Sunday morning and have tuned into the show late, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, producer of the Visionary I Ching Oracle, an app that supports great decisions and perfect timing. So glad you're with us today and have the ability to review all the hundreds of interviews in our online archives. Also, you can play and or share this particular episode whenever you want via the internet or as a free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with Donald Altman, author of Simply Mindful Reflections, 101 Daily Reflections for Joy, Hope, and Healing. And Donald is also a host of the Occasional Pathways program every month. So I want to thank him again for that. And I want to say a heartfelt thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is currently broadcast on KBOO-FM in Portland, Oregon. Or perhaps you have a free subscription to our podcast, which you can find at divination.com, spelled divination.com, or by searching for Pathways Radio on Paulo's YouTube channel, where you can also give us a thumbs up and subscribe. And do feel free to forward a link to this episode to your friends. So this is Paulo bidding you adieu and reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Podcasts. And thanks again to Donald Altman and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation.